Breakfast Business with Joe Lynham on News Talk.
With Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland, helping people across Ireland invest, plan and grow their wealth with confidence. Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Good morning. You're listening to Breakfast Business with me, Susan Hayes-Cullerton, standing in for Joe Lynham today. Well, it's Friday the 3rd of July, the eve of the United States of America's 250th birthday. So coming up on the show this morning, why more companies are turning to corporate health insurance, the future of the business of tipping, and of course, all the markets as usual. So joining me now is Aidan Donnelly from the Davy Group. Aidan, first off, I'm looking here at the week, the last 5-day performance of Micron. And it is down 14.35%. Have we reached peak semiconductors, do you think?
Look, I think there has been probably a change in the narrative in the last, I suppose, the last 4 or 5 days. If you look at it, you know, kind of middle of last week, Micron came out with a very strong set of numbers. The stock was up very strong in the day, took all of the other memory names and semiconductors up on the day. And then there was very, very little follow through in terms of share price reaction the next couple of days, and it started to drift lower. And then I think earlier this week, we saw the story that SK Hynix in Korea is going to raise money in the US, a significant amount of money in the US, because it wants to build new capacity in Korea. And so are Samsung. They're going to make a fairly substantial capex over the next 5 years. And ultimately, I suppose, it reminds, it reminds investors that, you know, semiconductors and that broader group are very, very cyclical in nature. So what happens is demand picks up, prices go up significantly, but then the companies put more capacity, build more capacity. And then when that comes online, demand doesn't necessarily increase. And therefore you get prices rolling over and you get this cycle like, you know, every other cyclical type stock. So in the last kind of couple of days, that's really what's kind of frightened people. Said, oh, you know, we're going to see capacity coming on. We were buying these because they were going to be generating huge cash flow for the next 5 or 6 years. But if they're going to be spending the cash flow to build new capacity, well, then maybe the story isn't as good as we thought it was going to be.
But Aidan, isn't there also the issue here is that timing is a problem, that the demand for the capacity is happening much faster than the ability for the supply to deliver, like ASML, which makes machines essential to advanced chip making, and Taiwan semiconductors as well, doing much of the manufacturing. Like, they're also facing serious bottlenecks in terms of delivery.
Oh, they are, but there's bottlenecks. The problem ultimately is from the AI story is that there's bottlenecks all the way through the supply chain, right? In terms of getting new compute data centers up and running, and it's not just the technology end of it. It's from getting permitting for to build them, then water, energy, labor to build them, then the equipment, and all these things. So there's bottlenecks all the way through the supply chain right now. But what's ultimately happening is that is forcing prices up. And I think the other thing to bear in mind in the kind of the broader technology landscape is the fact that, you know, while companies who are involved in AI might be able to afford to pay very, very high prices for you know, memory and for chips and things like that because of the growth that's in their end markets, there are lots of other companies who need these chips as well, and their end markets aren't growing anywhere near it. So they're seeing a strain on their profit line because their costs are going up and they're not necessarily seeing it in the ability to pass through prices to their customers.
Tokenomics, I think, is something we're going to be talking a lot more about in 2026 for sure. I want to go back though to SK Hynix that you mentioned there earlier on, because like the leveraged ETF in Hong Kong has grown so large so fast, that includes SK Hynix, that it's magnifying swings in both the stock and with the entire KOSPI index. I mean, is this an example of the tail wagging the dog?
I think it is. And I think the important thing is, you know, and then this happens all the time. We see these, you know, the idea of an exchange traded fund is you're supposed to have a big diversified portfolio, but you're able to buy it in one kind of unit or one fund, right? Now we've gone to the stage where you have an exchange traded fund that is only one stock. And in this case, then it is a leveraged version of it. And, you know, as we've seen, so many many cycles in the past. Leverage is great when stocks are going up, but it's a bit like gravity. It's a bitch when they start coming down again, you know. And I think we're creating it because of the amount of, you know, like if you look at that ETF with SK Hynix in it, there's nearly $12 or $13 billion invested in it. So every time that has to be, every time somebody buys a unit, that it has to be hedged. Remember, it's you're getting twice the share price performance in of the underlying stock. So everybody has to hedge that, and it's just causing huge swings in terms of the share prices. I'm not sure they should be allowed, but ultimately I'm not the regulator of a stock market. So,
and of course SK Hynix is 28% of the KOSPI, but Samsung is 29% as well. I mean, the concentration in the Korean stock market is massive, and it's gaining a lot of headlines due to the rise, and that's just the index, never mind the leverage of the ETF as well. I want to ask you a question that has become the defining question to ask in 2026. And as we're now moving on to Q3 or H2, it seems to be back again all the time on our radar, which is, are we facing a bubble? And as you know, Aidan, stocks go up for two reasons. Either earnings go up or the price of the earnings go up. We're now seeing both happening. And based on a piece that has just come out in the FT, analysts are forecasting 25% increase in S&P 500 company earnings for the coming year. Bubble territory, what do you think?
Well, ultimately, as you say, if the earnings are backing it, you would say, no, it's not a bubble, because, you know, the value, the market can be going ahead because earnings are going up. I suppose what is ultimately worrying people is that the earnings increase, or the rate of growth increasing, has been again concentrated in a very small group of stocks. So you have the market concentrated in terms of its share price performance. We've been talking for a long time about the Magnificent Seven and things like that. But in the same way, the earnings growth and that 20-25% earnings growth is being driven by a very small subset of stocks like the semis, the microns, things like that, and some of the big hyperscalers. So I think from the perspective of the overall market, you know, you have to kind of tease out those things. If you look at the rest of the sectors within it, earnings aren't growing nearly to that extent. They're still growing, and I think that's the important thing. But also, when you look at those stocks, their valuations are far more reasonable because their earnings growth is more reasonable. So the big question is, I suppose, for people, and it comes back to what we were just talking about the semis, how long can this cycle last, and how long can they be earning these very high prices, or very high profits, before capacity comes on and the cyclicality of the industry comes back into fore?
And this is why the conversation around that deserves ever more scrutiny, of course, because when that turns, then due to the sheer amount of leverage, of course, being one thing, but also money involved in all this area, could turn, and could turn very quickly. The last thing I want to ask you about is, I mentioned at the top of the show, we are coming into the 4th of July weekend, and there is a lot of speculation that in Japan, since we're heading into that time frame, that there might be an intervention on the part of the authorities on the yen. So far this year, the yen is down 13.5%. The Nikkei, on the other hand, 225, has risen almost 75%, I should say. What's the impact of this, and what's your take on where the yen is at?
Well, ultimately, the Nikkei, and if you look at the broader topics market, which is it's a much better gauge for what's going on in Japan, there's an awful lot of export-orientated companies in Japan, in the Japanese index. So the fact that the currency is weakening significantly is always a positive for them, because they export so much out of it. I think there's been a focus on the Japanese yen dollar rate for the last couple of weeks, last 2 or 3 weeks, given the size of the move we've seen over those few days. And obviously people now talking about intervention by the Bank of Japan, or the Ministry of Finance. I think when you look at it, it's ultimately, I think, less of a Japan story, much more of a dollar story, because we're seeing dollar strength against the euro, we're seeing it against the Swiss, we've seen it against sterling. And really that revolves around, you know, the change of personnel at the helm of the Fed, and I suppose a belief that coming into this, that, you know, Gavin Walsh was just going to do President Trump's bidding for him and just start cutting interest rates. He had his first meeting last week, and it's very clear that not only is he not doing that necessarily, he's removed forward guidance in terms of what he's, you know, him telling what the market what he currently thinks, and he's keeping it very, very close to his chest. So we've gone to a situation now where you know, interest rates are increases in the States have been expected now, and that's having a given strength to the dollar, which means you're seeing weakness in other currencies.
That's a great wrap up on where we stand at the moment. Thank you very much indeed, Aidan Donnelly from Davy. And up next on Breakfast Business this morning, why more companies are turning to corporate health insurance.
Breakfast Business with Joe Lynham on News Talk.
With Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland, helping people across Ireland invest, plan and grow their wealth with confidence. Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.